Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Rain delays continue. Some cautionary notes on the cash prices for corn next year and a cattle and feed report. We'll discuss them all today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Kim Holzapfel of the Effingham Clay Service Center. Our panelists today are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Last week after the show, Clayton, you said something like, there just seems to be, like there ought to be something out there that we're missing that could put a lid on the corn market. So have you given that any thought and what it might be that we've been fishing for under these cautionary notes? And we'll start with you, Clayton.
All right. Well, a lid on the market. I think we're getting closer than we were last Friday. If I had to sum up the action this last week, I think you had a concerted effort by some bulls in the market that saw a real opportunity to buy this market with very little resistance because there's extremely little farmer selling right now. Harvest hadn't quite begun in earnest in a big way, and the weather is looks like it's going to hold it off for a little while longer here too. So we really ran it up the flagpole here a little bit during the week. Barring Armageddon hitting with these storms this weekend, I would have to think that we're extremely close to topping out on this market right now.
Clayton Pope is with Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign. Kurt, we've been looking for some bad news in what's supposed to be a bull market. Did we find anything this week?
Well, we're going to stay positive. I think it's just a big bull market from what we saw last week. A week ago, we rallied 13 cents on the weekly chart. If you take last Friday's low to this week's highs, 21 cents up. You go back a ways, you look at Central Illinois cash, $1.95, all of a sudden we're $2.30. I mean, we're screaming out of the hole here. I think it gives you an idea how hungry the domestic and exporters are for this corn market here. As far as going much higher from here, we got harvest in front of us, and we'll probably slow down as this corn comes to town here because we are at some levels where it warrants maybe some sales if you need to.
Mike Georgie, which side do you land on?
Well, I also land on the side that I think the market's topped out here or close to topping out because I think it's a very, very emotional market. They know the demand should be there, and with weather problems and cold weather, it gave them a reason to go higher, but I think harvest pressure is going to meet us, and we're going to have to keep exports going strong to keep everybody excited.
Here's the way the corn numbers finished the week. The December contract had a high of 257 and a three quarters, the low at 242 and a quarter, their settlement price at 255 and a quarter. And as we just heard, they were up 13 and a half cents from last Friday's settlement price. December 07 corn, 295 and a half, up 11 and a half cents from last week. I need to ask this question. Is this what a bull corn market really looks like, Kurt?
Well, when you start looking at the technical side of it, whenever you start to form double bottoms and start to move above the moving averages, you got to get on it. What the bull market is in 2007, 2008, the demand to come. If you looked at the supply-demand balance sheets and project the acreage and yield and so forth, as long as this strong domestic base stays by, it will be a bull market, but we got to see this demand stay strong and come at us.
Clayton Farm Futures Magazine this week released a survey of 550 producers done over the last month. Now, those survey expect to increase corn acreage from 7 to 9% next year. That would put planted acreage somewhere between 85 million and, on the high end, 86.6 million. Of course, it's a long wait from now until next spring. So given that, there is a 5 million acre increase built into these numbers. What cash price do you think could result next fall under normal growing conditions? And let's say it's a 12.34 billion bushel corn crop. That's 92% of 86.6 at 155 bushels to the acre. cash price on a 12.34 billion bushel crop next fall?
Well, I think the missing element then in your scenario is, you know, what the heck is the demand going to be? And that's a million-dollar question, I think. You know, just how much will ethanol usage increase? They're looking at a 550 million bushel increase from last year to this year, and most people are penciling in somewhere like a 600 to 800 million bushel increase next year. It doesn't add up. I mean, if we do in fact get that much of an increase in the usage, it's going to take every bit of a 5 million acre increase. If the demand assumptions that are in place right now do in fact come to be, I would have to think a year from now we would be significantly higher than this. But that's not saying that I'm assuming we will be higher, because kind of touching on our conversation after the show last week again, it's a paradox here, and these numbers don't add up. Something's going to have to give here. So either demand's going to have to be a little illusory right now and not as great as everybody's expecting it to be, or there's going to be a real scramble for supplies come 18 months down the road.
And Clayton, I want to stay with you. Should a farmer use that information to make marketing decisions this fall about the extra, just the extra acres that they're planning to put in the ground next spring? Or are they going to go ahead and try to make a marketing decision, make sales on cash highs this fall on just the extra acres?
This is certainly not a time to do your marketing by just looking through the rearview mirror, I think, or, you know, what's happening right now. I think you very definitely have to be looking forward, and because we are sort of an uncharted territory. It's been a long time, if ever, that so many penciled out supply demand projections, you know, come up with a negative or extremely small carryover. But nevertheless, I get a little concerned when every time I turn on the radio or pick up a trade publication, and everybody, the advisors and so forth, they're all figuring, how can we get long December 07 corn, you know, at $2.90 or $3 or whatever, when the fact is that's one heck of a nice price for a farmer to have. So I think a farmer would be wise to look at, putting some synthetic floors with some option strategies on those far-out months that still allow you to enjoy upside potential. But if things don't pan out as expected right now, you're still going to have a pretty decent floor there.
You know, extra acres is extra risk involved, but I think you do need to have a plan. Our plan is to raise our selling prices 50 cents from a year ago and start in there. A lot of guys started at 240 last year. I think you start at 290 and scale into it on the way up. One excellent idea is mentioned is buy a put option, put a floor under you. That way we do get this humongous drought next summer and corn doubles in price. You still got a floor under you, but your upside's still open.
Well, I think that's the right answer. I mean, we don't know what this crop year is going to bring. I mean, is the big crop going to get bigger? Is the yields not there with the prices we got now? You definitely should do something, but I don't think you want to, you know, risk the whole year's crop. But we could have a lot bigger crop than what we're already anticipating of 11-1. And if we do and the acres come out higher for next year, I don't think we're going over $3.
Let's come back to this year's crop, and I want to talk about what's been the delay or the longer time that we've got to get into the harvest season here. Do you have an idea, a rough idea, of how much corn we use on a daily basis and how much that's taking out of the ending stock? So is it 32, 34 million bushel a day or something like that? I don't know whether that's numbers right. Maybe we can get Kim Holzapfel to look that up while he's waiting to get it to us and see whether we can come up with a number.
I'm not sure what the daily use is, but I think what they're focusing on is the fact that with the higher ethanol demand, the good cattle on feed demand, and the possibility of us eating into that ending stock, the exports are right now we're twice as much as we were last year at this time of year. So with the early demand, we're definitely eating into the ending stocks. And at this point, we don't know what the ending stocks are going to be with this year's yield.
Tell me about the jump in the wheat market this week that came on the heels of the bad news out of Australia, where the crop has suffered from a drought, and Argentina, where a third of that crop is said to be under stress.
A lot of optimism there as far as price goes. And, you know, typically you talk about Australia producing 23 to 24 million metric tons. The USDA is at 19.5. We're down to 16 out of their own A-bar source. There's ideas it could go down to 13. what we got is Iraq shopping around, and they're typically a buyer of Australia. Well, there's some uncertainty there whether Australia can provide it, and so North America came into the picture here. All of a sudden, well, it wouldn't be U.S., and all of a sudden it's back to U.S., so we'll welcome a 750,000-ton sale of hard red winter wheat to them.
December wheat this week in Chicago, 423 on the high, the low at 392.5. Settlement price there, 26.5 cents higher at $4.19 a bushel. July contract for next year, 448 on the harvest month. They were up 21 cents if a farmer can get his bean crop out in time. Would you plant soft red winter wheat in southern Illinois and Indiana, and how far north might you extend that decision? Anybody care to take that one on?
Well, I'd come as far as north as you're comfortable, because when you push the pencil, especially southern Illinois, that's number one cash flow wheat with double crop beans behind it.
Well, I think it's going to come as far north as Champaign, because I've got customers that are definitely looking at planting wheat at this time and second crop and beans next year, because it's definitely looking profitable.
Taking a look at the soybeans now, November's had a high of 561.5, the low at 542.5. Their settlement price, $5.49 and a quarter. They were off a half from last week. The November 07 contract, 608 and a quarter, down 3 and 1/4. While the corn and soybean markets had a good week in Chicago, rather corn and wheat markets, the beans only managed to post that slight loss. This seems counterintuitive given the rain-soaked Midwest. What does it tell you about the supply of soybeans in the pipeline at the moment?
Well, I think it shows how sick this bean market is, even though an awful lot of people seem to be getting real optimistic on the prices. When you see corn run up 13 cents there in a week, or almost twice that in 2 weeks, and yet beans are, what, they finished Friday, I think, 13 cents above their low for the whole move, it just shows, I think, the market's not really buying into this talk that in somehow, way, shape, or form this bean picture is bullish. If you ask me, it's only a matter of time before the other shoe falls, and we meet reality, and the reality is a probable carryover of, you know, 500 to 600 million bushels.
Let's go back and talk about both the corn and the soybean markets, and I want to pull the panel on this one. Thinking longer term than just this fall, are you bullish, bearish, friendly, the corn and the bean market, and to what point?
No, I'm bullish longer term. I'm betting the demand's going to come as I think this ethanol demand's for real, and they're going to be buyers of corn. And it's going to be at the expense of bean acres, so I think the corn rallies in 2007, the bean rallies in 2008.
I'd say I'm cautiously bullish corn, certainly optimistic. I think there's reason to be so. But like I said earlier, I am certainly not going to ignore marketing opportunities, because I think there's going to be a lot of good ones. And we might, you know, 295 new DSO 7 corn really might not be a bad price when all is said and done.
Well, I'm bullish long-term corn as well, because I think the demand, whether it's domestic demand, world supply demand, exports, the demand for the corn is going to be there. Beans, I'm not as bullish beans, because Brazil is anticipating another big yield this year, and we're going to have some big numbers, and everybody's hearing the numbers coming out already at 50, 60, 70 bushels an acre, and that's kind of putting the lid on the top side here.
Taking a look now, the December oats, 202 and 3/4. They were up 0.25 cent from last week. The numbers from the Mercantile Exchange like this. Lean hogs, the October contract is 65.85 high, low at 62.35. Their settlement price, $62.65. They were off $4.65 from last week. The Feb bellies at 86.50 were off 290. Live cattle October contract, $90.97.5 on the high, the low at 88.90. October live cattle settled at $90.10. They were down 2.5. And the September feeder cattle at 116.05 were off $1.50. Cattle on feed report released on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock Central Time from the United States Department of Agriculture. On feed as of September 1st, tagged at 110%. The average guess at 108.8, and 110 was within the range. Placed in August at 115. That was up on the top end of the trading range from 102 to 115. The average guess at 109.4. Once again, the placed in August at 115. In the marketed in August, 102%. out the average trade guess at 101.4, and they range from 99.6 to 105 even. What do we look at on Monday morning?
We're going to start out soft, definitely, just from the report itself, but the funds have turned to the sell side. We've got dominant trends futures-wise. Cash-wise, Packers tried to steal them at 86 cents here this last week. I have a feeling they're probably going to start out at 86 and try to buy them lower.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Kim Holzapfel of the Effingham Clay Service Center.
I'm Jim Angel, state climatologist, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Temperatures over the last week have been very cool, about 2.5 degrees below normal statewide for this time of year. Temperatures over last weekend were quite warm, but a cold front moved through, making things feel more like fall. For example, Monmouth reported a low of 34 on the morning of the 20th. Typically, the first trip below 32 degrees in fall is around October 7th in far northern Illinois, October 15th across central Illinois, and the 21st by the time you reach southern Illinois. Sizable rains fell across central and southern Illinois this week, with amounts of 1 to 2 inches common. Even the drought areas east of Quincy and east of St. Louis received rain, although probably too late to help with the growing season. The northern third of the state was much drier, with amounts of 1/4 to 1/2 inch pretty common. The National Weather Service forecast calls for thunderstorms through Saturday night, with rain totals of 1 to 2 inches possible. Afterwards, we should see a return to quieter conditions with seasonable temperatures, highs in the low 70s and lows in the mid-50s. In week 2, temperatures are expected to be below normal with near-normal rainfall. For the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign, I'm Jim Angel.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at WILL.UIUC.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois. Kim Holzapfel is the Grain Department Manager at the Effingham Clay Service Center in Effingham, Illinois, and he now joins our conversation this afternoon. Thank you very much, Kim. We appreciate you being along for the ride today.
Thank you, Todd.
First, because the weather looks to be pretty wet over the weekend, and rather wetter there than here. What was the situation on the ground Friday evening as we headed into the weekend, and how much of farmers got out of the field, if anything?
Yeah, we're seeing quite a bit of activity in our trade territory. It seems like it's been focused a little heavier to the south. Early on, the corn seems to be drying down quite a bit better, but we picked up the pace midweek. And as far as ground conditions go, it just looks to me like we're holding in there very good right now, but we certainly don't need any more rain.
You have a rough estimate of what producers in your part of the world are thinking about next year's crop and how many acres they'll be putting in the ground of wheat and corn and soybeans?
Well, there's no doubt on the wheat. We're seeing a huge increase on wheat acres again this year, as we did last year. I would guess the wheat acres to be up another maybe 25-30% again this year, and we had that kind of an increase last year also. So, and I think that will be coming at the expense of corn, because we usually sow the wheat behind the soybeans. So, and I think corn acres will try being up. So I guess I'm looking for a big reduction in the bean acres in this part of the country, but a lot of that coming at the expense of, of the wheat. So.
Did you have an opportunity while we were talking to take a look and see what our daily usage is?
Yeah, 32.6 million bushel per day, and we're getting close to the 22nd, 23rd day, so we're about 720 million bushel that we've used here in September.
Kim, do you think there's going to be opportunities for corn LDPs this fall, or are we pretty well seeing that go out the window?
Well, basis levels have really come up. We're trading rail corn right now about 17 cents higher than we were 2 weeks ago, and with LDP being a function of the cash market, it's sure going to be difficult. I guess I wouldn't rule it out, but if we can get 5 to 10 cent LDP this year, we're going to have to take it and run, and I would question as to whether we'll get any at all.
Other than sort of a short-term phenomenon here, where you'd have to think people still holding old crop corn at this point are pretty strong holders, and it's not going to get shaken loose anytime soon. So we're kind of at that point right now, I guess, waiting for the new bushels to come rolling in. When they do, do you think that this firming of the basis is telling us that you're going to have much less farmer selling on a percentage basis than in recent prior years? I mean, is it all going under loan, or you know, what's the big difference here?
You know, I think, you know, the weather's had a big impact on us. We, you know, we come into July thinking, you know, as soon as we got out of Labor Day, we'd be ready for harvest, and we're just not seeing that. And I know most country grain elevators are like myself. We kind of put the old crop grain away. We put it in flat storage, some of the storage that's harder to fill, which we can't do at harvest time, and we're just not willing to pull it out right now and have to refill it here in the next few weeks. And I think probably from a flat price standpoint, we may see some cash sales on this corn. And with basis levels where they're at right now, we may see our ownage percentage ship going up here this fall. So I'm interested to see what the basis is going to do here in the next 2 weeks. I do think we'll drop this basis back down here in the next couple of weeks. So,
with all the contracts that were delivered upon on September contract, which means there's a lot of old corn out there moving, and with the new crop, if it ever gets rolling here at full steam, do you see a big downside in this corn, or long? Are you bullish or bearish short term, and what do you think long term?
Well, I think this 233 low that we had here in Dease corn a few weeks ago is probably going to hold this thing. I don't know. We could go down and test that thing again, but if we do, I think we'll stall it out at that level. Long term, I guess I have to agree with all the panelists. This ethanol demand really looks good. The thing that is scary to me is everybody is thinking the same thing, and I've always been a contrarian when everybody's thinking the same thing. I usually like to go in the other direction, but, boy, it's a good, solid demand base when we're talking about this ethanol, and I just feel real good about the corn production and corn prices here in the future.
Kim, what's your storage situation in your area there? Are you going to be able to find a home for it, or going to be some forced sales, or?
Well, we typically haven't had to go to forced sales in the past, and our early corn yields have been pretty disappointing, to be truthful. I thought at one point in time we might be in a little bit of a bind here. We've made some provisions for a fairly large crop this year, and with these yields, these early yields being as disappointing as they are, I think we're probably going to be setting it in pretty good shape here in South Central Illinois.
Where do you ship to once you get into the system?
Well, we're fairly large CN shippers, corn going down to the poultry markets in the south, but we do feed quite a bit of corn into Decatur, quite a bit into the St. Louis market.
And which is your best market? Is it to the south for the poultry guys?
Sure, the CN rail market would be our best market.
And I have, when you take a look at that and we start talking about rail cars, are you concerned at all that the ethanol industry will put a bind on space for rail cars, or at least being able to travel on those rails next year and years in the future?
You know, it doesn't seem like we're getting any new rail hopper cars into service here, but I haven't really seen the rail car situation tighten up that much due to the ethanol plant. So I guess I'm not real concerned. There is a big spread right now between buyers and sellers equipment on the CN. I think we're running about a 12-cent spread. So if you own the cars or lease the cars, we got that trading at about a 12-cent premium right now for nearby corn. But I just don't see the shortage right now taking place because of the ethanol anyway.
Do you think that this, the outside, the crude market, could affect the expansion of the ethanol market as far as, you know, how low do we have to go in crude to maybe slow some of the demand for ethanol?
Yeah, I'm saying this crude. Of course, we're trading down close to that $60 barrel mark now, but you know, we talk a lot about these ethanol plants getting started, but, boy, they're just slow to get started in this part of the country. I mean, I've got probably three or four of them proposed in my trade territory, but it doesn't seem like they're going anywhere. And I just wonder, if that might not be a function of these guys are out marking their spots trying to get their territory marked, but we're just not seeing ground broke on any of these things yet. And I don't know if they're watching for the crude and see what happens. And then, obviously, if we get this stuff back down to $40 a barrel, they'll probably put a hold on it. But as we all know, the efficiencies are there right now. I mean, they're making some good money in them, and hopefully we get some more up and going.
Are you fearful that they won't get sited and they won't be put into the system at all?
That's really, I'm working with three proposed ethanol plants right now in my territory, and it's just, like I say, it's just going very, very slowly, and that's a little concerning to me.
What would an ethanol plant in your area there, what would that do for cash biz in your area?
Well, we do quite a bit of business with the Lincoln Land ethanol plant down in Palestine, and it's probably improved our basis on my elevators. It's tributary to their 4 to 5 cents a bushel. So, you know, the closer you are to one, the more impact it will have. But I would guess 4 to 5 cents, and I think that's kind of what these ethanol plants shoot at. They don't want to improve the basis much more than that because of the efficiency of the plant.
And how far an area do they cover? Is that 20-mile radius? How far out from the plant are you getting those kinds of increases?
Well, you know, we're my closest plant to Palestine is about 40 mile away right now, so it's had a pretty big impact down in that part of the country, but that's not huge corn producing country down there, you know, so they're going a little farther. I think when you get into central Illinois, a 20 mile radius is what they're trying to catch most of it in.
When you talk to producers on a daily basis, what do they ask you most often?
Oh, gosh, you know, they've become good basis traders here over the last few years. I think right now, and with the rise of the, you know, the price later or the hedge drive contracts or futures cash contracts, they're starting to watch this basis. And of course, a lot of them got hung on the wheat this year, and corn basis started out pretty wide. And I guess basis is probably the question I'm getting asked the most right now.
And have you urged them to make sales on wheat for next year?
You know, I have. I'm a little early, but we've got the local mill here paying above $4 a bushel on wheat for harvest delivery. And I'll tell you what, like one of your panelists mentioned earlier, there's good wheat money to be made in the wheat market. And these double crop beans this year look as good as the conventional beans. I think we'll see some 50 bushel double crop beans out here in part of this country.
And how many acres of double crop can they do in your area?
Boy, you know, acre-wise, I can't answer that. But every acre of wheat from Effingham South gets planted to soybeans.
What's nitrogen fertilizer look like in terms of cost?
You know, I'm not really into that very high. I do know anhydrous ammonia has come down substantially, but I couldn't give you a quote. I'm not sure where it's at right now.
And then as you take a look at next year's cropping system, will producers really be upping the acres? And I know we've answered this once, but I want to go back to it. Do you think they'll up their corn acreage next year too, along with the wheat acreage?
Yeah, we're going to see the corn acres increase along with the wheat acres. Like I said, that's going to come at the expense of beans. I'm not sure that we'll get the huge corn acre increase in this part of the country that you do in central Illinois, but I could see corn acres being up 5% next year.
Kim, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kim Holzapfel is with Effingham Clay Service Company out of Effingham, Illinois, where he's the grain department manager. And now a final word from our panelist, and we'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Well, just a confirmation, there's a lot of uncertainty out there on how many acres and demand, and so when we do go higher there, I think you got to have some type of game plan.
And Clayton Pope?
Everybody's focus has really been on supply lately. I really think that we better take a hard look at demand. It's going to take a while to see how real some of these forecast increases in ethanol is. Look at the chart of ethanol. It's a real eye-opener.
And if I could get a final word from you, too, Mike Georgie.
Well, I think the old saying of a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. You've got some good prices here. Let's do something. You may not want to do everything, but I think the price is telling you do something.
Many thanks to our panelists today, Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities out of Champaign, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale from Mahomet, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel out of Greenfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great and safe harvest week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.